Okay. Hey, everybody. Good morning. This is Al from Indiana on the go. We are in between the outdoor church service in Linton, Indiana. We just finished that, and now we're on our way to my granddaughter's house for a combined birthday dinner with my wife and my oldest son. We share the same birthday, so we're going there right after I'm done here to have a nice birthday dinner. So hopefully I don't get disconnected. I'm on my phone on Zoom, and hopefully things will work out okay. I did send out some slides that I'm going to be using during this presentation, so check your email and see if you have those slides to follow along. If not, that's okay. You can see them with the presentation audio later if you have to. Today, we are going to be discussing a topic about how Satan uses the Word of God to manipulate people's thinking and their doctrine. And so help me by following along with the slides if you can, because we're going to drill down on some things that we talked about a couple times ago. Two times ago when I spoke, we talked about the fact that Paul, when he wrote his post-Acts epistles, wrote them as though the Acts period never happened. He went back and repeated a lot of things that were in the Acts period, but in a more superlative manner because of the change that happened at the end of Acts. And last time we talked about the critical text and how the footnotes in the Companion Bible sometimes refer to critical texts and things they omit and things they add in, and the dangers of that, because the critical texts are based on corrupt manuscripts, and the King James is based on the Textus Receptus, which are the true and correct Greek manuscripts. So we left off with looking at the word in Ephesians 3:9, fellowship, and it was changed to dispensation. So let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into that study. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time today to spend in your word to look at things that you have to show us that we may or may not have seen before and may or may not understand fully. But Lord, in each step we take in our path that you rightly divide, we come to know your word better and better each time. We ask you to be with all those folks in the rooms here and on the recordings, that they will have an open eye and an open ear and a spirit of wisdom and revelation to understand these words. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. By the way, thank you, Ronnie, for another great lesson. I missed most of it because I was at a church service, and we heard a lot of good kingdom music, and they ended up with a great baptism and a lesson in Romans 31-33. So here we go with the fellowship. We call this the fellowship of the mystery. And turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to skip down to verse 9. Start with verse 8, I guess. It says, unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And the footnote in the Companion Bible says, here marks fellowship, and it says the text, or the critical text, read oikonomia instead of koinonia. And oikonomia shows up in verse chapter 3, verse 2. So what it's trying to say here is that word should be oikonomia and not koinonia. Well, I guess we have to say, which is it? Is it koinonia, which means fellowship, partaker, or communion? Or does it mean oikonomia, which means administration, economy, or dispensation? And you're figuring, you may be saying, well, what's the difference? Who cares? You know, but I'm going to make some important points here. So I hope you hang on and try to understand what I'm saying. Now, this word oikonomia is interesting. A couple of weeks ago, Ronnie was introducing us to 1 Corinthians, and he was talking about Corinth in Greece. And I got on Google Maps while he was talking, and I looked up Corinth in Greece and kind of zoomed in on the city. And what was interesting is it shows, you know, churches and businesses and public buildings and so forth. And I noticed there was a business in the downtown Corinth called Tires, spelled with a Y, Tires and Wheels, Oikonomoi, Oikonomoi. Well, that's that word economy. It was Economy Tires and Wheels right there in downtown Corinth, which I thought was pretty awesome. Another comment on oikonomia means dispensation. And I remember in the first 30 years of my life growing up in the Catholic Church, how they use the word dispensation is really different. In the Catholic Church, if you use the word dispensation, that means you are given an excuse from the law of the church. So if you were bedridden or disabled and couldn't attend Mass every Sunday, and thereby commit a mortal sin, you could get a dispensation from the Pope or from a bishop. This is an excuse from the law of the church so that you didn't have to go to Mass. You could do something else, have a priest come to your house, or you could watch it on TV or some other thing. So that's how they use the word dispensation in the Roman Catholic Church. So that's interesting. So, you know, no wonder people don't understand what you're talking about if you're talking to them about dispensations or things like that, because I learned a new word. It's called, I don't want to mess it up. It's a Greek word called phronema. Phronema. Phronema is their thinking, their understanding of things, their thinking of things. It's really different, the phronema. So, turn to Ephesians again here. Go up to verse, we're going to go to verse 1. Well, let's just stay at verse 9. We're going to go from verse 2 to verse 9 here. But in verse 9, let's go ahead and put the word dispensation in there. And to make all men see what is a dispensation of the mystery. Well, if you follow what the footnote says in the Companion Bible, verse 2, you're going to see in the next slide that you take the dispensation of the mystery and you can equate it with the dispensation of the grace of God in verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. And I've actually heard many people, when we're talking about doing a conference or something on the mystery or the body of Christ, and they say, oh yeah, you mean the dispensation of the grace of God. Well, whatever. So, is the dispensation of the grace of God the dispensation of the mystery? Is this what they're trying to imply? And I think some of them do. Well, that would be saying the grace of God is the mystery. Well, we all know that the grace of God has been around since Adam and Eve. They admitted they sinned, they did wrong, and God, through his grace, sacrificed animals, gave them coats of skin to cover their nakedness and their sin as well. And Noah found grace in the eyes of God and built an ark. So dispensation is not a mystery. It's been around a long time. God's been dispensing grace for a long time. So now, if we change that word in Ephesians 3:9 to fellowship, then on the next slide, you go up to the word in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. The mystery. And if you skip down to verse 6, it explains what the mystery is. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And that would be joint heirs, joint body, joint partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That is the fellowship of the mystery, in my opinion. This is one way to look at it. This is the fellowship of the mystery. So what is God stressing in verse 9? Is it the dispensation or is it the fellowship? Now, I'm going to admit, I'm guilty. I've got to go back and change a lot of things I've printed and because I've, you know, following Welch and others have kind of changed this verse 3:9 to dispensation of the mystery instead of the fellowship of the mystery. But I'm beginning to think that what the King James and the true text of God in the true Greek is trying to stress here, the fellowship of the mystery. So what is the overall effect if we change the word in the Greek? If we change the word in the Greek from koinonia to oikonomia, does it make things better? Do we get a better understanding of something? Or does it detract from what God's trying to teach us here? Well, let's take a sidestep here to compare Ephesians 3, verses 2 and 3 and 9, to Colossians 1, 25 through 26. And it says, if ye have heard of the grace, in Ephesians 3, 2, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made unto me the mystery. And jump down to verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, compare that to Colossians 1, 26, 25. We're going to actually start at the end of 24. Colossians 1, 24 through 26. At the end of 24, it says, for his body's sake, which is the church. That is a fellowship. For his body's sake, which is the church, the fellowship of the body of Christ, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. Well, in Ephesians 3, 2, he said the dispensation of the grace of God. So, according to the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So here, the mystery is the fellowship for his body's sake, which is the church, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. That's the way I read that, because Paul says, for his body's sake, which is the church, of which, or whereof, or of which, I am made a minister according to the dispensation, the grace of God, which is given to me for your word, to fulfill the word of God. Now I'm adding the word grace of the grace in there, the dispensation of the grace, because he said that in Ephesians 3, 2. He's saying the same thing in another way. So of the grace in Ephesians 3, 2 can be inserted in Colossians 1, 25, and I don't think you're really harming the word of God there. And the mystery and fellowship in the Ephesians verses can equate with the mystery and the fellowship for his body's sake, which is the church, in Colossians 1:24, 1:25, and 26. So let's look at what the modern Bibles do with Ephesians 3:6. The fellowship of the mystery, they say is our fellowship with Israel. But the problem is the name Jew or Israel is not in the Greek text. You can see the Iodius or Israel in the Greek is not in the Greek text. Modern versions of the Bible show evidence that they do not recognize that Israel is being temporarily set aside by inserting these words into the text. So you should have a slide in the Greek Textus Receptus there that shows Ephesians 3:6. And you can look in there and you cannot see those words Israel or Jew in the text. Even if you don't know Greek, you cannot see those names in there. And down in verse 9, it does have koinonia. So even in the Greek text, Israel and the Jews are not in there. But if you start looking at all the Bible versions in English, I have about four or five slides here that you can go through where the Amplified Bible says, with the Jews, in parentheses, or in brackets. The Common English Bible says that they would share with the Jews the promises of God. Complete Jewish Bible, with the Jews. Contemporary English Version, gave to the Jews. Easy-to-read version, those who are not Jews will share with the Jews. Easy English Bible. Gentiles, as well as the Jews, may be receiving good things. The Expanded Bible says that the Gentiles will share with the Jews in God's blessings. Good Words Translation, as Jewish people do. The Good News Translation, Gentiles have a part with the Jews. International Children's Bible, just as the Jews will. The non-Jews are together with the Jews. The Living Bible, which is the Dead Bible. That the Gentiles will have their full share with the Jews. The Names of God Bible. The people who are not the Jewish will have the same inheritance as the Jewish people do. So this goes on and on and on. You know, the New International Version, a very popular Bible today, it says that the mysteries, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. Members together in one body, shares of together, promising in Christ, or Christ Jesus. And on the last slide there, you have on down, same thing, New Living Translation, New Testament for everyone, Worldwide English New Testament. My Catholic Bible, I pulled out a shelf and looked at it. It says that in Christ Jesus, the Gentiles are now co-heirs with the Jews, members of the same body. Okay. I think you got the point. So in my opinion, the entire religion of Christianity developed as it did because the saints did not see the fellowship of the mystery as being now independent of Israel. This is a different fellowship than the one during the Acts period, and did not come unto the acknowledgement of the truth about the change that took place at the end of Acts. So, a dispensation of the grace of God and a dispensation of the mystery became simply that Christ among the Gentiles, remember that in Colossians, Christ among the Gentiles, so that they could all become Christians along with God's chosen people, Israel, looking for the return of Christ in the millennial kingdom. Well, I just witnessed one of those services this morning. You know, they sang a couple kingdom songs and then nobody had a Bible. Nobody had a Bible. The preacher didn't have a Bible. You know, he's got his little iPad or something he's preaching from. He did bring up a couple of Roman verses and talked about them. And then they ended with the water baptism down in the pond. And I didn't stay for that. But anyway, in the absence of right division, the understanding of the natural mind must be this. For the natural mind, traditional Christianity thinks that the salvation of God was sent to the Gentiles, Acts 28:28, to make of the twain one new man, Ephesians 2:15, reconcile both unto God in one body, and fellow heirs in one body with Israel and partakers of his promise, Israel's promise in Christ by the kingdom gospel. That's Ephesians 3:6. So, there you have it. You know, I could speak very well for that doctrine if I wanted to. You just have to avoid the fact that there was a change at the end of Acts. And I feel sorry for these people in these worship services. You know, all these people love God and they love each other. And I just feel so bad that they've been so down the road with this lie. And man, trying to talk to these people is like trying to unfry an egg, you know? They were serving ham and eggs at this breakfast. This was out in the country. Blue skies, not a cloud in the sky, not a leaf moved. It was a beautiful day, beautiful service. But it was all half truth. Peter Redman calls it misplaced truth. Ephesians 3:9. Look what the modern Bibles do with the choice of oikonomia. So let's use the word oikonomia and see what happens. Let's take you all away from the word fellowship. Just, you know, throw that in the trash can. We're going to use dispensation of the mystery. And I've got about four or five slides here of all the English versions that use that translation, that Greek text. And you get things like the plan of the mystery, the secret plan, this secret plan, the mysterious plan, the stewardship of the mystery, the plan for his secret truth, how to know how God makes this purpose happen, the plan of the mystery, the plan for his secret, the way this mystery works, secret plan to be put into effect, how this secret that has been at work, things had secretly planned, the way this mystery works, the plan of the mystery. You can see all the variations that people these versions use to send people in another direction. Some of these Bibles are so paraphrased, you cannot even imagine that's a Bible anymore. The meaning of his secret. I think my Catholic Bible has the secret mystery or the secret design or something like that. So you can go through those yourself. There, if you print them out, you can read them, but there's 50 or 60 or so. And I do have a slide here with the versions that did use the word fellowship of the mystery. And they are very consistent. The KJ21, the BRG, the Geneva Bible, the Jubilee Bible, the King James, the Authorized King James. I don't know what the MEV is, the King James Version, the NMB and the Young's Literal Translation all have fellowship of the mystery. And I think that is the true translation of that verse. Now, if you look at the far above all translation that some of us like to maybe use as a reference, they, on Ephesians 3:9, they just throw both of them in there. It can be either dispensation or fellowship, oikonomia or koinomia. And the note they said is koinomia is probably a misspelling from an exemplar reading of oikonomia. And I think this is the reason Charles Welch gives, that somebody just copied something wrong and wrote koinonia in there instead of oikonomia. But I don't know if I agree with that explanation anymore, knowing what has gone on with these Bibles since Bulliger and Welch were around, which is a lot of proof. So, the one new man of Ephesians 2:15 was created of the two in Christ at the cross. The circumcision, uncircumcision, in Christ at the cross. But then in Ephesians, Paul says, but God, but now therefore, in Ephesians 2, means there are some changes here. When Israel was set aside, so were all their promises. Salvation is now available to all men equally. And the fellowship of the mystery was chosen in Christ before the overthrow of the world. And that was long time before Israel was called out from the foundation of the world. And this fellowship of the mystery is being called out from among the one new man, which are all those in Christ, Jew or Gentile. The body of Christ is being called out of that one new man. So what is unique about the fellowship of the mystery? Or is it unique? Well, what's unique about it is it's not connected to the promises and hopes of Israel. It is of its own identity. So what is unique about the fellowship of the mystery? Well, we can start with his headship. Christ is his head. We can go with his blessings, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. His choosing, chosen before the foundation of the world. Its judgment, we are to be holy and without blame before him in love. Its adoption as sons to heirs by Jesus Christ. Its inheritance is the holy, the heavenly places far above all. Its calling, its salvation. The salvation is different. We'll talk about that next time. But the salvation is unique. Why did Paul in Ephesians 2 mention that by grace you are saved twice? It's workmanship. It's workmanship unto good works. It's fullness of the body of Christ. It's knowledge of the will of God. It's sealing by the Holy Spirit. It's spirit. We have the spirit of wisdom and understanding and revelation. It's glory. It's glory with Christ in the far above heavens. It's grace. It's grace is special. It's hope is beyond the hope of Israel in the other callings. It's good works. It's perfection is unique. Its placement is unique. We're seated in a place of authority. So its authority is unique in the heavens with Christ at the right hand of the Father. Its habitation is in the heavens. Its equality. We are all equal. It is a concorporate, is a Latin word, concorporate body. Its citizenship is in heaven with the other saints in the heavenly places, in that household of God, its citizenship. Its purpose is to make manifold the wisdom of God to all the heavenly authorities. Its resurrection. It's an out-resurrection. Other than that, there's no word resurrection in Paul's post-Acts epistles. Concerning the body, it's out-resurrection is the only place resurrection is mentioned for the body of Christ. It's unity. It's love. It's love of Christ. The length, the depth, the breadth, the height of the love of Christ. And there's many more I could go on to, but those are many more things that make this fellowship a unique fellowship. Philippians 1, 3 through 7. Let's go back before Ephesians. Paul says to the Philippians, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy, for your fellowship, koinonia, in the gospel. Now, this is not the gospel he preached to them in the Acts period. This is a new gospel he's preaching to the Philippians on his post-Acts missionary journey. From the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So this goes from the first day to the last day. The first day until now. the good work he began in you, the body of Christ, until the day of Jesus Christ, when he appears, we shall appear with him in glory. Amen. Even as it is meet for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers, that's another word for fellowship, of my grace. Partakers of my grace. What was special about Paul's grace? We'll talk about that next time. Philippians 4:14-15. So near the end of his epistle, he's saying, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, there's that beginning of the gospel, when they departed from Macedonia before he was reapprehended, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye also. That word communicate, sun koinonia, is having had fellowship with my afflictions. Communicated is koinonio, means partaker with or fellowship with me concerning giving and receiving. So this word fellowship was already in place in Paul's epistles to the Philippians. So, in conclusion, without right division and without the word of truth, traditional Christianity can only be led to the natural conclusion that they must be somehow associated with Israel in order to be included in God's chosen people. So, not only was this fellowship preached by Paul, but sort of ignored by the so-called apostolic fathers, this religion of Christianity developed as it did. And it's sad because have they only seen, and God knows he has a purpose for this, but this fellowship would be so easier to see if Christianity wasn't in the way, clouding things up. Christianity, what we were taught, is so confusing. The hardest thing I have about studying the Bible is putting away all the wrong things I was taught for 50 years going to church. It would be so much easier if Christianity wasn't in the way. Because I know people have all these paraphrased Bibles and all this stuff that they, Charlie Kirk is a great guy, and he was certainly spreading the gospel of salvation to a lot of young people. But where do they go? Once they get saved, where do they go? Well, they're going into the churches. The churches are full of these young people now for a couple of months, and then it'll probably fade away. But, you know, because there's nothing there. The churches don't know what to give them. They don't know what to feed them. They just throw them into the kingdom soup, and that's where they are. Oh, I wish we could talk to Erica Kirk about the truth and her board of directors. The dispensation of the mystery does not occur in the scriptures. That term does not occur in the scriptures. Dispensation of the mystery. The dispensation of the grace of God given to Paul for us, as in Ephesians 3:2, what does that really mean? Can that be a mystery? Now, I know I'm talking in circles here. But can that be a mystery? So we're going to talk about that next time. So stay tuned. And we're going to end here with that. I've got to run again. So I hope this made some sense. I hope the notes will help you see what I'm trying to explain. And thank you, everyone, for your time. I do want to make an apology to all of you and to Mike Petrakowski that a couple of weeks ago when he was speaking, I made a comment on Pell Talk that interrupted his lesson, and that was a terrible thing for me to do. I apologize for it. I apologize to Mike, and he's forgiven me for that, but I want to apologize to everybody. I just, it interrupted his train of thought. It interrupted his message, and I'm sorry for that. Anyway, I love you all, and appreciate your time with us today and putting up with me. And Father, thank you for these words of truth. Sorry that we kind of hurried through it, but you'll understand. I think people will get it. It's not that big a deal, but it is a big deal. Be with everybody this week, and Lord, help us find a way to get a message to all these young Christians, the truth of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.